Well, hello, faithful colleagues. Welcome to our session on the MCH workforce. We've titled it Developing Our Base and Building for the Future. So emblematic of our lean but mean workforce, if you will, lean but mighty workforce, we really appreciate your coming here today and thinking with us about what the issues are, sort of taking the time to focus on what we need as a workforce to go forward. You know, we hear in public health it's sort of what the needs of the population are, what the needs of the government leaders are, and so forth. But we really, for a long time, I think, in this field, not MCH specifically, but in public health more generally, sort of didn't treat ourselves very well, and sort of thinking about the fact that we were taking on more and more demands, what was going on in government generally in this country, and what the impact has been on us as a field. So anyway, we're delighted to be responsive to APEHA's suggestion that we have a session on workforce, and glad that you're here. My name is Holly Grayson. I think I know almost all of you in the room, so you know who I am. But for those of you who don't, I'm Holly Grayson, and I'm with the Maternal and Child Health Section, and I am with also the Maternal and Child Health Bureau, as well as Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. And I have some great colleagues here, leaders in the field, and awardees, newer and more previously, and in the future, awardees. So I'll introduce them in just a second. I'm going to, after my remarks, I'll come down and bring this, but there's a sheet that we'd like to pass around so people come and will let us know who's attended. So, few sort of general sort of introductory thoughts. So, our big questions, if you will, that's a technical term, these are our big questions. How do we support and sustain the current talent and build leadership capacity to ensure that there will be some who will be able to step up over time as Some of the workforce ages, and or even if they don't age, if they're ready to move on to new ventures, that there is are people who are not only prepared and trained educationally, but also in terms of their professional development and their passion for maternal and child health, public health, and ready to sort of move forward and address our problems continuing over the years, our maternal and child health health challenges. And secondly, how do we engage a diverse cadre of young, talented professionals in commitment to maternal and child health careers, especially careers in government? Clearly, the data tell us what our population is currently has changed to, and how it is going to continue to change. And often when we go to meetings and we look around the room, we realize that in our panel, including our panel, showing that we really, as a workforce, don't match well the population that we are serving, and that we really need to make some conscious efforts to engage people of a broad range of backgrounds, races, ethnicities, and so forth in the public health, maternal and child health mission. So specifically, what we're going to do is just have a broad few-slide overview of what some of the training needs are of maternal and child health programs. We want to examine the need and strategies for enhancing diversity, as I just mentioned, of MCH trainees who will become the MCH professional leaders of the future. Describe the MCH program strategies for recruiting young talent into government agency employment. And supporting those who are currently working in the public agencies, especially as they undergo an onslaught of new responsibilities, as well as some new burdens and perhaps a dwindling amount of support in their roles. And then provide some information, lastly, on national and regional level initiatives and partnerships between the federal maternal and child health program, universities, and national organizations to develop some resources to help us to begin move forward addressing some of these needs. So my colleagues here at the table, who will all be presenting on touching on the themes that we just mentioned here, are Laura Sneebold, who is from the National Association of County and City Health Officials, Molly Schleff, who is from City Match, which is the National Organization of Urban Maternal and Child Health Directors and Professionals, other colleagues, senior colleagues, Lauren Ramos, who is Director of Programs at the Association of Maternal and Child Health Programs, and then Laura Cavanaugh, who is Director of the Division of Research, Training, and Education at the Federal Maternal and Child Health Bureau. So we've talked a bit about these themes among us, and we'll be trying to give you some different perspectives on them. We'll want to hear from you what your perspectives are in terms of the experience, not only your personal experience, but your observations and your thoughts about what we can do in our organizations to help continue addressing, or really to launch stronger efforts on behalf of the MCH workforce. So, context. The main themes and data that we're going to look at today have to do with the state and local economic and political environment. I don't think we've been talking about that for 4 or 5 days here, and we talk about it probably every day back at our other jobs. So the idea being that there are huge resource squeezes, there are going to be even more, and you know, often in this DC area we talk about it mostly in the national context, but we need to think all the time of how that translates down. So this is a good opportunity for us here who working in the national and the DC level to really sort of hear the translation of what's going on as a result of what we hear about our colleagues on the Hill are doing or not doing. So beyond the financial squeeze, another theme or issue are the, you know, current anti-government sentiments in some areas of the country, which further limit options for related to workforce development. Some of these are not new for those of you who've been in the field for a while. I remember back in, I think it was probably around 1990, I was in a state in the upper Middle West, if you will, a prairie state, and was driving along, going to a reservation with some folks in the state health department, and we were in a van that was a state van doing totally legitimate work, and a truck pulled alongside the van and then cut in front on a totally open highway and with a gun rack in the back and started, you know, sort of threatening at the state employee who was driving this van with several of us going to the reservation. And, you know, there's Holly from the East Coast going, you know, what's up with that, you know? And hearing that actually it was very common for people in some areas to be threatened by their fellow residents of their state for wasting government money by, you know, traveling in a state car regardless of how important the mission they felt they were doing. So these themes are not necessarily new, but they certainly seem to be exacerbated. So impacts in terms of cuts in staff, furloughs, which tend to be more prominent now than they've been in many a long time, reassignments of people. It happens in all levels of government, but it's very hard for workers to keep up their energy, to feel like they're on top of their work when it's constantly changing. They're doing different responsibilities as well as 20 more. So what can we do about that? And what are the implications for recruitment? How are we sure that we're able to help young people who believe they have an interest in the field really know that this is a place where they can grow and thrive? And then finally, another pressure is that for accreditation, which is very good news, but the timing with limited resources and new pressures for higher standards and more standards is just mind-boggling times. Demographics, I mentioned aging of the workforce, issues in recruitment, which are problematic, and then needed diversity. I'm just going to show a few overview data slides from various sources. I have to say that over the past several years where I've been trying to work with workforce, public health workforce data. As much as there's been a new plethora of data that didn't exist before, it doesn't match up very well often. So it's really hard to know sort of what exactly the picture is, other than that it's, you know, it needs attention. That message comes through very clearly. But these data here, for example, are from a survey in 2008 of state Title V maternal and child health programs. And as part of the survey, we asked what the director's tenure was in their agency and in their position. And you can see here we had one-third of the directors had been in the agency over at least 18 years, and then in their position, there was still another 31% who were there under two years. So we have a broad diversity. We have sort of folks on either end of the scale, and not so many in the middle in terms of thinking about who's coming up behind. So even though someone may be a director, that doesn't mean necessarily that they have totally different training needs than some of their newer staff who are in junior positions because they are new to the position, and so forth. And children with special health care needs directors, a somewhat similar picture there in terms of leadership and tenure. And then looking at that time, and I would venture to guess that it's even more significant now if we had a 2010 survey, but there were 95% of the maternal and child health programs with at least one vacancy, and 57% of the special needs programs with one vacancy. Average number of vacancies in a program was about 10. So depending on the size of that program, as some of you who are familiar with state programs know, there may only be 12 people, and if they have five vacancies, we're talking about huge impact. As you can see here, in a few of the states, the number of vacancies represented 20 to 30% reduction in staff capacity. And again, that was a few years ago. In terms of vacancies, we have in the double digits at that time were nurses, particularly nurses who could take on leadership role in terms of program development and oversight and monitoring of programs around the state, and then also needing more capacity in terms of research, statistics, and epidemiology. Somewhat prominent, again, were physicians, managers with advanced public health training and experience. So often, as those of you who work in state and local programs know, often there's people coming in through the system who have management experience, but it may be another discipline or field, and they don't have advanced or adequate, even to their own assessment, public health training. So what are the needs there, and what can we do about it? In terms of another source of data for thinking about our workforce in the future, it can be from the Schools of Public Health. So the Association of Schools of Public Health puts out an annual report of people who apply for public health graduate training, people who are accepted, people who graduate in those given years, according to different kinds of programs. But I just took data from a few of those slides looking at the issue of diversity. So, for example, that's what my intention here with this slide is. So there's about 9,000 graduates from some degree program or other, graduate degree program or other, in public health per year from the schools of public health. Of them, there's about 7,500 where the race is known. And in terms of the breakdown in looking at the racial and ethnic mix, we see that with 12.6% of the U.S. population being black or African American, the schools of public health generally are doing somewhat well. They're approximating the mix, but maternal and child health graduates within those schools of public health are doing fairly well in terms of bringing students into the programs and graduating them. Hispanic and Latino, the picture is not near as good. So we can see we have some work there to do. Again, maternal and child health is sort of on a par there, but not even as good as overall the schools generally. And these data are kind of interesting because they break it down by, I think, about 10 or 12 different program or disciplinary areas within public health, and there is quite a bit of variation. So had I had more time, you can look also at some other program areas within public health that graduate people who work in maternal and child health. They may not have been in an MCH program. They may be in health education or mental health or some similar program focus within their graduate degree program, but not maternal and child health, but end up working with us in our maternal and child health programs. Another piece of data in terms of needs that, just to set the stage, is also from our survey of state Title V maternal and child health and special needs programs in 2008. And we asked the programs to respond in terms of the priorities for their training in a range of about 58 areas of skills and functions, which match more or less to maternal and child health competencies as well as some of the public health practice competency areas. So we can see here that 75% of the programs felt that their most pressing need was for training and support and having staff in the area of critical training. In leadership development was also fairly prominent, as well as management as an ongoing need for training. Again, a lot of this has to do with people maybe in agency, but a lot of shifting of roles and responsibilities, often without a lot of advanced planning. You know, when I've started in the field, you plan to move up through a ladder in state government or local government or federal government. And now I think the planning for that is just sort of out the window, and a lot of people move forward, but they move forward very much more rapidly without ability of time to sort of move. So these needs for sort of, I think, reflect some of that. And then, you know, public health, just basic public health Title V knowledge base. So we have a fair number of people in our workforce who are working in a subject or population area that they're not specifically trained for. So what can we do about that, particularly given some of the barriers, which, again, are not new. We learned about these in 2008, 2000, and in 1992, the three times, most recent times, when there were surveys of the state maternal and child health workforce. Travel, cost, and so forth, limited geographic access of the programs. And then this is in terms of continuing education. In terms of graduate education, we hear that within government agencies, to get an advanced degree won't necessarily move people up through their agency professionally. So there's not a lot of incentives within the system. We need to think about that in terms of in the more global picture as public health professionals, ability to leave work to go to school and so forth. Very similar to some of the work-life balance. Well, professional development balance sort of is in that mix, I think. And we don't talk about it much. People talk about family versus work. Well, family versus current work versus building a career, you know, maybe entail different, even additional constraints. So with that, these are some of my references for the data I just threw up. I'm going to go forward, and we're going to ask each of the presenters to, I just think you can sort of move forward in your own sort of sequence and share with us some of their, some of what they know about their specific membership, constituency, and so forth, and engage you in some conversation as we wrap up.